Well, today I have a special person that just confirmed we've known each other a couple lifetimes before, and I'm proud to introduce you to Ash Marshall Odell. And to tell you a bit about her, I have some beautiful notes here because there's so much to say that I feel like I will get lost if I just rattle without a little note here. But on this episode here of Soulful Soundbites, Ashley, who goes by Ash, she's a meditative artist, a chakra dancer. Like, that's just fun to even say. A nature and an earth lover, which that's where I know we are kumbaya and that love. And what truly sets you apart, Ash, is just your profound passion for helping people to tap into their own personal power and that, self-knowledge to create the dynamic shifts, the energetic shifts to improve the mental health. And I like this, your words. I'm going to insert my words here of the different levels of the energy being from that physical level to the mental level to the emotional level and to the spiritual level. And I love that you share that if that your work really heals at those different levels. So not only are you a practitioner of the pranic Reiki, but you're also a creative force behind it. And that is where we're going to focus our conversation today and unravel the mysteries of this and really start with understanding how it works in harmony with different energetic systems and balance, talking a little bit about that. And, while I could go on, I really just want to dive in with you. So, Ash, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure.
Yes. So let's start. I feel like I just want to have you keep talking, but I'll start with just the first question of around the kind of origin or the inspiration. I know you and I touched on this previously, and it's so remarkable. And maybe you could just share how the pranic Reiki came to be.
So it kind of began way back. Reiki in of itself was a profound part of my personal journey, and it then became part of my professional because I became a Reiki practitioner. And during COVID is really when it came into being. And prior to that, during meditation, I created this art piece. All I knew at that particular time was that it had to do with blood, bones, and earth. That's it. That's all I knew. And so then came the first symbol, which was for divine connection. So connecting very deeply first to Mother Earth, the goddess, and then taking all the way up to divine source, which is the highest, purest energy. And it works on every part of your body and being. And slowly over the course of 2 years, the symbols came through. And you meditate a lot and you do some research and you use it on yourself for a while. You discover more, then you work with other people, you discover more. And it is just one of those incredibly beautiful gifts, just amazing gifts from the universe to the people. I call myself sort of the go-between or the flow and the flow through. For it, because that's all it is. And just a person like anyone else. So some people are like, oh my gosh, it's are you magic or something? I'm like, I'm a housewife and a mother. And everyone has the capability to be able to do all of these things. It's going on your journey.
Ash, I'm thinking that there could be some people that maybe don't fully grasp what Reiki is, and then maybe you can explain how the pranic Reiki differentiates from traditional Reiki.
Sure. So Reiki itself is again a gift from the universe. And at its core, it's a particular set of frequencies. And these frequencies assist people to let go of heavy energy. So everything is measured in hertz. So light waves, your emotions, your thoughts, brainwaves, physical body, all of that can be measured in hertz. And so when you bring in higher vibration frequencies, they can sort of vibrate out those lower vibration frequencies, which opens up your energy field and allows all of the wonderful higher vibrations to sort of integrate into your being, and you feel better and better and better. It's beautiful. And there are many types of or schools of Reiki. The original is used, and that originated in 1927. And then over time, Reiki spread around the world, and there are over 1 million practitioners, and a lot of different schools have developed. So some, there's Sekhmet, gosh, I'm so sorry, I'm going to blank on all the different ones, but all of them have a particular set of frequencies associated with the symbols. And the symbols are the way that the energy is used and how it flows. So for instance, there is within pranic Reiki, there are two symbols that are treated as one, and they open the walled off aura to allow healing. Because sometimes when we've been hurt very deeply, we shut down our field because we're scared to be hurt again. And so it's more challenging to allow that opening and that trust. And so it is just a gentle opening that allows the energy to leave and to come in.
I love it. So is it safe to say that the pranic Reiki, what makes it unique is that, you know, one, it came through you, and that the symbols you received make it also create its uniqueness. And those symbols are what carry, they're almost like a, dare I say, like a portal of being able to access other energy, like a higher vibration of energy, or?
So the highest vibration energy that there is, period, is divine source. So other Reikis, you know, they come from the rainbow layer, which is the layer just below divine source. And this is the layer, and that is not in any way a judgment or saying that it's less than. Absolutely not. It's just the rainbow layer is the layer of forms. It's the layer of all of the energies. So the rainbow, if you look at white light, when you break it apart, right, is rainbows, right? So divine source, when you go to that level and you bring that back down into the body, that's just the highest that there is that we have available to us. And I combine, because I trained in Usui, Holy Fire, and Karuna, and then of course Pranic Reiki, and I often combine. So Reiki, no matter what the school is, it all combines. So you can use all of the different symbols for different healing purposes. So it's, you know, anything from protecting your space and yourself to helping you to release perhaps some heavy energy from your heart, like grief, you know, or the Kundalini point that is just below the heart between the solar plexus and the heart. A lot of people carry grief there, like profound levels up. And so when we are allowing that to go, it really helps us to move forward instead of being stuck, you know, in a particular way of thinking and feeling.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. And you mentioned the solar plexus. So maybe we could move into sort of the energetic system's interplay with the chakras.
It goes right back to that rainbow. If you were to look at a person's energy, particularly the channel that runs directly through the center of the body called the prana tube, within the prana tube, you have the seven primary chakras. You also have your kundalini points, which are in between. And if you look at a rainbow and you were to take that rainbow and put it on a person, pretty much lines up. So you go from red to sort of an orange red to orange to yellow orange, orange, and then all the way up to, you know, yellow green, green, blue green, you know, and then you go into purple and then you go into violet. When you look at a person, they're a rainbow. It's beautiful. And all that you're helping a person to do is to let go of those heavy, heavy densities that reside in the aura, that reside in chakras, and sometimes, you know, kundalini points and the body, as well as, you know, further afield, because most people have had multiple lives, and this universe is not the only one that's ever existed. And so some people have incredibly old souls, and that energy too is connected to you.
So just to give us a preview of what you see. So when you see somebody's rainbow and you see there's like lower density, what does their rainbow look like when there is some like low density stuff that might need to be cleared? Is there like a shadow in the rainbow, or is there like a symbol that, like, what does that look like for you?
Everything. It depends on the person. It depends on how open they are. It depends if I have a yes to read that person, because I'm very, boundaries are important. And so having permission is the first step, right? So usually when people come to me for healing, I already have permission. However, that being said, there can be some parts that are like, no. And so you have to work with a part to gain permission. I know that sounds a little odd. We'll leave that out because it gets a little bit complicated at that point.
You can get esoteric very quickly.
Whole other conversation, actually
right.
Multiple. That being said, when I look, so, you know, different things can look different. So sometimes it's metal, like it might be a metal pipe that I see. It might be like steel wool. It might be cotton or fuzz. It might be a wooden structure. It might be crystalline. It might be a program, because when we are distressed and we're not able to deal with something consciously, we subconsciously, our field of energy will put it outside of us and run it because we just can't handle that. Like that. That's got to get that. No, it is kind of how it works. Get outside the body. So it can look often the way, because I see how energy flows. Like I literally see the lines of energy and colors and all of that. There can be like almost like a machine out in the field that looks sort of like, to me personally, the satellites that are in space, and it's just slow, and you can see the line of energy that, you know, it leaves the body, and then it'll have a point going back into the body where it re-enters and flows. So a huge part is to help that person release that so that their energy can come back and have the natural flow of energy, because that helps the person feel better, because they're not holding energy out. So you're using force to keep yourself from feeling something because it's too much, right? So when you allow that energy to come back and you're flowing and you've let go of the stuff that's unhelpful, you feel better. And it, of course, because all of it is related, mental, emotional, and physical, you have more optimal energy.
Yeah. You know, and it's really beautiful how what you just described of having, you know, something that's just kind of out there and not wanting to be too close, really being a beautiful metaphor of the light in the dark, and how, you know, I can see how this work really helps balance those dualities. And maybe you could talk about that.
Unfortunately, in humanness, we have done some terrible things. So light and dark, both are rainbows. So absorbs, reflects, that's all it is when you're talking about energy, in terms of energy. And so when we talk about that, what we're really talking about is the density of. So people call it shadows and stuff, but really it's a density. So if you were to think of the vibrations of emotions, so for instance, shame is the lowest vibration emotion, 20 hertz, below which you're pretty much dead. And it goes all the way up, you know, you have hate, courage at 200, hope 400, all the way up to peace and enlightenment, which is above 700 to 800 hertz. We feel great. So when we're talking about releasing those lower vibrations, we're really just talking about the heaviness. So if you were to think about it, if you were to carry around a 20-pound weight every day as you did all of your tasks, right? That's freaking heavy. Now, if you switch that out to 5 pound weight, that's lighter. Then you switch it out to a 2 pound lighter. You feel more energized. You feel like, oh, I can do this. This is ease, right? And as you keep letting go of the heavinesses, you find more ease. You find more flow. You find more ways forward because you're not concentrating so much on having to carry around the heaviness of unprocessed emotions, unprocessed beliefs, unprocessed thoughts. And when I say unprocessed, I mean consciously aware of, gone through, understood what the messages were, and are able to let go. And usually that requires a therapy most often, if it's, you know, right? Because everything is tied to beliefs and how we perceive the world and ourselves. And we don't know we have these beliefs. So I liken it to having goggles, honestly. You don't even know you're wearing them. And they could have, you know, 500 lenses thick, and every lens might have something different on it. Maybe it's a different color. Maybe there's a scratch. Maybe there's a crack or a sticker. Maybe there's like barcodes that run through it. And so you don't know that you're reacting to the way you're perceiving because it's always been that way. So for instance, if there's a crack and you see a crack at the bottom of that lens and you look down at the ground and every time you see a crack on the ground, you're going to step over it, right? Because that's a perceptual thing. And you start taking off lenses, right? You start seeing clearer and clearer and clearer, and you have to adjust to that because your body's like, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, there's no crack here. Oh, wow. And it takes your body a little time to get out of the habit of walking in a particular way. So it's all related, right? And of course, every time you make changes, you know, your body undergoes changes because all of that are also chemical hormones that run in your body. So for instance, if you're stressed all the time and you start being less stressed and running the adrenaline and let me see if I remember it, corticotropin, it's a secondary access, corticotropin, adrenal hormone. I think I got that right. Adrenocorticotropin.
It sounds good to me. I will not be the one to correct you on that.
It's hard to remember all of the different names. You know, you start studying the human body more and more and more and diving deeper and deeper and deeper, and you start seeing all these connections. And it's kudos to doctors because holy smack, that's a lot to remember, especially the Krebs cycle. That's just, no. But at any rate, with each of these things, as your body makes these changes, you start being able to think differently, to feel differently, to behave differently. And with every cycle that you go through and you level up, because once those behaviors, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, physiological, when they become habit, where you don't even have to think about it, it's just who you are now. Oh. What a relief. What a wonder. How amazing.
I love the metaphors that you've given here, especially like the different lenses and, you know, being a sidewalk, I need to step over that. And then as you peel off, you're like, oh, that's not. And I think that's a beautiful way to describe what sometimes I call the patterning that we have built within us. And so I'm wondering if we could bring it really practical and maybe you could share, you know, a memorable or transformational story from one of your sessions of what that actually looked like in real life, or in shamanic terms, we like to say in ordinary reality.
I won't share about clients. I'm happily able to share about myself. So I grew up and my abuse began in infancy. It was pretty rough. So there was physical and then mental, emotional, sexual, and religious. And when I was very young. And the traumas totally repatterned my neurobiology. So I had delayed psychosocial development. I ran adrenaline 24/7. I was terrified of basically just about anything and everything. And I struggled to stay present and not be in a fear response, you know, like projecting, oh, that guy, you know, right? He might hurt me. It was rough. It was a lot of severe challenge for me. And so I did combination of therapy. So I was in a trauma group, I was in therapy, and I was doing spiritual work. All of this together is what helped me to overcome the most challenging aspects that I had to deal with. And of course, you always have more, right? We're never done, right? So what I was trying to figure out how to change being triggered all the time, I was figuring out what my triggers were. So for instance, a door slamming, phone ringing, a ping, any of that, I would have an instant adrenaline response. Like I would feel like, you know, I'm triggered. I'm like hyperventilating at times, right? So I had to get ahead of my triggers. I literally had to go in and figure out how to undo them. And it was a step-by-step process. And I laughingly told my therapist, I feel like I can see the door, but I keep hitting the wall. It's like the Roomba that didn't get programmed correctly and it just keeps whacking into the wall. So it was like I could actually see the door. It was like two steps to the left and I could get through it. I knew it was getting close. And one day I had a breakthrough. And I was able to walk through the door, and the triggers of unexpected noises no longer got me. Now I will still, if I'm super tired, woo, loud noise, I'll be, you know, and I'll jump a little bit, but I'm able to calm down with way more ease. And it's very rare now. Very rare. That was huge for me.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Thanks for being so vulnerable and open. I think it just really helps emphasize the power behind this energetic work, and that it really is a form of medicine that can sometimes get lost on us when we reference energy medicine. And that just feels, you know, yes. So thank you for that. And, you know, and thank you for sharing so much of this, you know, the unraveling, it's not even unraveling, it's like demystifying the mystery of this work, because I think you just explain it in really clear ways and relatable ways where people could be like, I get it. Like, and frankly, for me too, I am familiar with Reiki, but I was like, I didn't realize it in this way. So I thank you. And in this, before we wrap up, I'd like to ask, and this could be a little tricky knowing the trauma that you have to navigate, but I'd like to ask, what would you tell the younger Ash? Like, what sage wisdom or guidance would you offer her? And I ask because I hope that someday my daughters will listen to this who are now teens, and they'll make it to the very end here to hear what you have to offer.
I would have to wait, tell my younger self things, because in the time and place in the family in which I grew up, there was no ease. There was no understanding. And there would have been no words that I could have offered myself to really create a knowing at that time. So what saved my life, first step as a child, was, and I and it's so funny, I've told this story several times, and it's really funny because I thought and thought and thought, and I never can remember what actually prompted it. I had come back and I remember being so upset, and I remember getting into my room and collapsing right in front of my closet doors. And I was sobbing hysterically, like the world is going to end, kind of hysterical sobbing. And I was praying with all of my might, like just focused on this. And all of a sudden, golden light. And I was not awake and aware at this time in any way, like I am at this point. Golden light, and there were sparkles. And I just knew it was a message. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. What really saved me as an adult was my daughter. I was going to be healthy for my daughter. So when I started my therapy, it was so that I would be able to raise a healthy daughter, because I knew I was not healthy at that point. I knew it. And so I did all of that starting out for her. And then eventually it was because of me. Because at that time, I hated myself, frankly. I just didn't know it. I had so much shame, terror, fear, rage, hate, anger, you name it. I had it all just shoved as deep as I could get it. And so that sage advice that I would say, be willing, be open, be curious, and know, just know that no matter how much and what you've been through, you are deserving, you are worthy, you're enough, you are capable, and you are lovable. And you deserve wonderful things in your body, your being, and your life. And you can make changes. You're not a victim. You have choice. And sometimes it will seem like the hardest thing. There are always choices. Just choose. Keep going. Keep going. Make mistakes. Learn. Make more mistakes. Learn. Keep going. Because it's sometimes all you can do. Don't give up.
Ash, that's so powerful. I'm literally just like so grateful for that. And it's said in such a way, and I appreciate you relating it to what you were able to hold and receive as a child. And then when it really came through and you were able to hold and receive, and it just reminds me of how giving birth is one of those sacred initiations that we had mentioned before we hit record, of that the feminine body goes through and accessing source or the divine. And I can't help and just listening to you that it took the arrival of your daughter to open up a pathway to source for you to have the courage and to have the strength to face everything that you had faced. And so thank God for your daughter's arrival too.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
To have you step into this beautiful way of service that you are now helping so many people. Yeah. So Ash, how can people find you? How can they learn more about you? Where would they go?
So I have a website. It's sacredjourneyswithash.com. You can find me on Facebook, Journeys with Ash, and Instagram, Sacred Journeys with Ash. I have blog posts and published a book, A Healer's Journey Through Trauma, CPTSD, and Anxiety. And I teach classes and do spiritual mentoring and dynamic energy change healing sessions, both in person and via Zoom.
So beautiful. I will include all of that in the show notes so people can find you. And I just really, excuse me, am moved by this conversation. And I truly appreciate your openness. And I think just, I'm holding it as an invitation for all of us to be open, because that's when really rich conversations have that truly move you. So thank you for being open, and thank you for this time. I appreciate you.
Pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you.